Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome to a Monday edition of the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast across all of our great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 206, and also the radio.com application. 855-212-4CBS is the number if you want to rock with us. That's 855-212-4227. You could always give me a follow, shoot me a tweet via the good old cesspool of Twitter as well, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. Or on our network's account, you could tweet us there too, at CBS Sports Radio. Ryan Tracehickey along the other way. And we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios on the Zach Gelb Show. Rocket Mortgage is giving away millions during Super Bowl 55 with the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Square Sweepstakes. See rules and enter for free today at rocketmortgagesquares.com. Super Bowl 55 is set 2 Sundays from now. We will see the game commence in Florida at Tampa Bay. It'll be a home Super Bowl for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They did take down the Green Bay Packers yesterday at legendary Lambeau Field by a final of 31-26. And then in game number 2 between Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen, once again in a big game, the Chiefs didn't get off to a best start. You had the fumble by Mecole Hardman. The next thing you know, it's 9-0. And even when they were down 9-0, yes, you said, ooh, yes, you said, ah, oh, look at the good start by the Buffalo Bills. But just seeing how easily the Chiefs have come back in a postseason ago, down 24 to the Texans, down 10 to Tennessee, down 10 with 7.5 to play in a Super Bowl against the 49ers. I never wavered for a second, and I thought that the Kansas City Chiefs, even with Mahomes not being at 100%, you couldn't tell though when you were watching the game. I never wavered for a second on Kansas City thinking that they were going to lose that game. I thought all throughout that they were going to win the game, but it was a little bit entertaining early. And then as the game did go on, and really towards the end of the first half, once the Bills set up for the field goal, and they did so right at the 2-yard line, you had a feeling that Kansas City was definitely going to win the game, even though there were still 30 minutes left. So from the NFL's standpoint here, they got to love this Super Bowl matchup because it's Mahomes, it's Brady. You have the GOAT going up against the best player in the sport for the last 2-3 years in Patrick Mahomes. And we should get what I hope is going to be a good Super Bowl. You never know at Kansas City, because Kansas City, they will either make it a very entertaining and exuberant game where they're down and then they will battle their way back and they'll go win the game in a close fashion or in blowout fashion. Or if Kansas City does what they did a few weeks ago up against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, where they had that explosive start, put the game pretty much out of reach. I know the final score was, what, 30-27? It was a 3-point finish, but that game was never close. So we'll see what happens coming up in 2 weeks. I'll never count Brady out. It's amazing that Brady it has a chance to win his 7th Super Bowl. It's amazing that Brady is going to be starting in his 10th Super Bowl coming up in 2 Sundays from now. And that Buccaneers team, I don't want to say I told you so. I think that would be disingenuous because I did pick the Packers to win the game. But if you do recall, after that matchup between the Chiefs and the Buccaneers, where everyone was jumping off the Buccaneers bandwagon, they got no shot to get to the big game, I did give you the take that Buccaneers team could potentially become what the 2018 Patriots were, where they did not have a very bold and dominant regular season for the Brady standards, and they just found a way once the postseason did come around to go on a run. And that's what we've seen here with the Bucks. Yeah, you get a gift in the first round going up against the NFC East opponent in the Washington football team. Then you were not a favorite going up against the Saints. You end up defeating them. Defense was awesome with the three interceptions and the fumble. And then yesterday, you saw the Buccaneers offense really where it was so dominant to start the game. And you had the big play to Scotty Miller right at the conclusion of the first half. And at that point, especially when they come out of the second half, they force a fumble and they turn it into a touchdown to make it 28-10 right out of the gate in the second half. You're starting to think that that was going to become a blowout like the last two NFC championship games for the Green Bay Packers, where the Falcons just destroyed them. And then a year ago where San Francisco really did take them to work and take them to school that day. And because of the fact that the offense for the Buccaneers was the opposite in the second half, then that became a close game. So we'll cover everything today. By the way, how about this treat for us? Bruce Arians, good friend of the show, is going to stop by at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Bruce has always been very benevolent with his time with us. So we will be joined by Bruce Arians, the head coach of the NFC champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who will have a home Super Bowl against the Kansas City Chiefs. BA will stop by at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. We'll get into everything from yesterday, what this season has been like, and maybe give an early thought or two about the Super Bowl matchup against the Kansas City Chiefs. But let's start out with that Buccaneers-Green Bay game. And I think there's kind of 2 to 3 or maybe even 4 phases and momentum swings in that game. So let's go in chronological order. Brady was awesome on that first drive, had 3 big third down conversions, eventually does find Mike Evans in what was a beautiful touchdown pass. They go up 7-0. Packers eventually answer back. They get it to 7-7. Bucks add on another touchdown to make it 14-7. I think one of the first big moments of this game, though, was when the Green Bay Packers had to settle for a field goal. And that was in the second quarter. They get the ball first and goal at Tampa 6. They forced the ball to Adams on first down, tried to find Adams on second down, tried to find Adams on third down. And for the Buccaneers defense early, when pretty much you get the ball first and goal at the 6, you're thinking Rodgers, especially how automatic and the synergy has been so great between Adams and Rodgers throughout the year, you're thinking you give them 3 chances, they're going to find a way to get a score. That field goal there, I thought, was big for the Tampa Bay defense. And still, the Buccaneers at that point, it didn't win them the game, but they are up 14-10. Then you fast forward to that final minute 30 of the first half. Now, there's actually about 34, 35 seconds left where Rodgers has an interception. Was there contact on Sean Murphy Bunting? Yes, there was. They didn't call it. They were letting things go until the end of the game. We'll get to that later on. But that was the first big mistake by Rodgers, where he throws that pick, because if they're able to, and they're at Green Bay's 33 at the time when they throw that interception, if they're eventually able to get into field goal range, or even if they don't even make a kick, or even if they score a touchdown, they get the lead. But at that point, I thought Tampa was the better first half team, if Rodgers just protects the football there, they go into half, getting the ball, by the way, coming out of halftime. They get the ball only down by 4. I think that would have been a victory for the Green Bay Packers, especially with how I thought the Buccaneers were the better team. So you get the interception, and I thought this was just crazy back and forth emotions. It's about to be a 4th and 4, and Arians, he had his field goal team out there, and they put out the kicker. I'm like, they're about to kick a 60-something yard field goal? And I tweeted at the time, it's 4th down. There was like 13 seconds left. Just toss a deep ball up there. You may as well. Because even if you throw a deep ball in that spot, it's going to take up, even if it's incomplete and you don't get the conversion, it's going to take up 8-9 seconds off the clock. You got to make one stop up against Rodgers, and they're not even at field goal range because you're at Green Bay's 45. So regardless, though, they call a timeout. You then have Bruce Arians take his kicker off the field. They go for it. Brady just gets the ball off. It was not a clean conversion, but it goes. And that took it originally down to 6 seconds. They ended up putting 2 extra seconds on the clock. And at that point, even with me saying you should take a deep shot before, I'm thinking, all right, you're going to do a quick out. You're at Green Bay's 39-yard line at the time. You'll do a quick out, and then you'll kick a field goal, and you'll go into half up by 17-10. Then they take that deep shot down the left sideline to Scotty Miller, who was on the show with us last week and talked about his mentality and how he prepares himself without knowing how many reps. And we told you on Friday, Scotty Miller was going to be a key in this game. He was going to make a big play in this game with Antonio Brown, his status up in the air, and not knowing how healthy Antonio Brown was going to be. We had a feeling that Scotty Miller was going to do something. So Scotty Miller, and I don't know what kind of coverage the Packers were in. They had King, one guy on him. And they didn't respect the speed of Scotty Miller. I'm not telling you Scotty Miller is this great wide receiver, but how do you even let him in that spot? It almost reminded me of Greg Williams at the end of that game between the Raiders and the Jets. It was awful. And I mean just an awful call and awful coverage. Brady puts that ball in right to Scotty Miller, makes the catch, very reminiscent of the AFC Championship game, the classic between the Patriots and the Chiefs, where Philip Dorsett had a touchdown right before the closing seconds of the first half, and it goes into halftime, it's 21-10. And at 21-10, the score reflected how the game was playing out. And they were so close to going into halftime at 14-10, and that would have went from a Green Bay win into then what felt like the Packers were in trouble. Now, coming out of the second half, this is when I really thought the game was going to get ugly. Because when it's 21-10, you feel good about the Bucs, but it is the farthest thing from a lock that they're going to win the game. When they fumbled the ball 3 plays in to start the second half, and then 1 play later, Brady gets the ball to Cameron Brate at 28-10, you're not saying turn out the lights, the party's over, but you are thinking that the Buccaneers are going to the Super Bowl. And what happened after that, the game got close. Rodgers had a touchdown, 28-17. Brady then throws a pick, and then Rodgers cashes in on a 13-play, 68-yard drive to make it 28-23. When the game got to 28-23, you're thinking, we're in for a classic finish. And I remember thinking at that point when it's 28-3, and the Packers score that touchdown with about 20-something seconds left in the third quarter, I said, the Buccaneers, if they want to win this game, they're going to have to score 2 more touchdowns and get to 42 points. Well, they only got 3 more points, and they still won the game. And that game had all the makings of being a classic finish in a good way. Brady Rodgers going toe for toe, blow for blow. And then all of a sudden, both of these offenses were anemic. Brady goes on to throw 2 more picks. When he threw that second pick, that's the first opportunity Rodgers had to go take the lead. Green Bay goes 3 and out. Brady then throws another pick. Rodgers, 3 and out again. Now, you survive against Rodgers one time, fine. Thinking you're going to, you know, when they get the ball back off that second pick, Trace, wouldn't you say when that third interception happened and that was their second chance to go take the lead, you're thinking at 28-23, interception, they go 3 and out. When they get the next interception, which was Brady's third pick in the game, it's 28-23. Rodgers takes over the football. Green Bay's 24 with 9:15 left in the fourth. You're thinking Green Bay's going down the field and going to get the lead, correct?
100%. They squandered one opportunity going 3 and out. No way they're going to allow it to happen again.
And they did.
You know what happens.
They went 3 and out. Bucks get the ball back. They're driving. They get a field goal. It's 31-23. Even when it's 31-23 and the differential is 8, and I know that Green Bay went for 2 earlier, which came back to bite them, and Green Bay, they're driving down the field, and like earlier, they get inside the red zone, they get in a first and goal scenario, first time at the 6, this time at the 8. It's first and goal at the 8, and they had 3 incomplete passes. And I don't know what it was with Rodgers. And I know a lot of people are going to talk about the LaFleur decision. We'll get to that in just a second to kick the field goal. But Rodgers, as great as he's been this year, he failed in this game. Yeah, they got back in the game, but it's another slow start in an NFC title game. He threw a bad pick, couldn't cash in first and goal at the six, and you have three chances to go take the lead or tie the game at a bare minimum, and you walk away with 3 points? That's brutal. And you get on third and goal at the eight. I don't get why he didn't run the football. He had a wide open path. Even if he doesn't get in, it's then fourth and goal at the two, and there's no way there. If it's fourth and goal at the two with 2 yards, run a crossing route. You either open up Davante Adams or Tonyan, you're getting a touchdown. So he doesn't run the football, incomplete pass, and I was stunned. I know there's moments where he second-guessed coaches. Everyone in America had this thought on fourth and goal with 2:05 left when Matt LaFleur put out his field goal kicker, Mason Crosby. What the heck are you doing? I know Brady did not play well in the second half. He is still Tom frickin' Brady. You give him 2 minutes left with the Super Bowl trip on the line, I will put my money on Tom Brady 10 times out of 10. I know Matt LaFleur basically had 4 timeouts. His 3 timeouts and the 2-minute warning. How do you expect you're going to get the ball back there? 2 first downs and the game is over. And Matt LaFleur basically told you, I trust my defense. Brady peaked in the first half, has nothing left in the tank in the second half. We know we're going to get the ball back. I don't care that you got 3 picks off Brady in the second half. Your offense wasn't taking advantage. This was your best shot to go tie the game. You're 8 yards out. You can't get an 8-yard completion. You got to go for it in that spot. Because if you give the ball back to Brady, you don't know if you're getting it back, and you're probably not getting it back. And you didn't get it back. So I know people are going to talk about the officiating at the end of the game. How do you call pass interference? I didn't love the pass interference call. Now, by the rule, was it pass interference? Yes. Were they calling that throughout the game? No, they were not. So they call it their first down. Boom, the game's over. That's not the reason the Packers lost the game, though. The Packers lost the game because, once again, they had 3 opportunities to go take the lead or tie the game, and their offense only had 3 points. 2 3-and-outs, and then for the second time in the game, you're first and goal, and you walked away with 2 field goals. 1 at 14-10, and then 1 at this spot, 31-26. That Matt LaFleur decision was brutal. And if I'm Rodgers, yes, Rodgers did not play great in this game with all the missed opportunities, and it's stunning. You give him 3 chances to go either win or tie the game or take the lead or tie the game, you're thinking he's at least converting on one of those. He converted on none of those. But Rodgers has to be sitting back, and he basically said till after the game, even though it was very ambiguous, not my call. Translation, I disagree with it, and I disagree with it vehemently. Because Rodgers knows how great that quarterback is on the other sideline, and they gave him the ball back without knowing that they were going to get the ball back. If there's 6-7 minutes left in the game, no one would be ripping LaFleur today for taking that field goal. But there was 2:05 left. Yes, you have your 3 timeouts. But all Brady had to do, the greatest quarterback of all time, was get 2 first downs and the game's over. So the game was lost right there. And if you're a Green Bay fan, you got to be sick to your stomach. Your number one seed. NFC title game, Lambeau Field. And the last 4 times you've been in a conference title game, it's been a brutal end to your season. The Seattle game in Seattle, you choked. With 2 minutes left, you choked. You couldn't recover the onside kick. The ball was in your hands. The game was over. You lost. The last 2 title games, blown out against Atlanta and against the 49ers. And this one, even with how dreadful of a start you got off to, you had multiple opportunities to go win the game or at least at a bare minimum tie it. And you came up short over and over again. I could not believe it that they kicked that field goal. Your best chance to get those 8 points was right there on fourth and goal. And Matt LaFleur, whew, in a big spot, he projectile vomited on himself. It's not all LaFleur. Rodgers is deserving of blame too. What was a fantastic season for the Packers had one awful finish. And that's going to sting for a while because you never know. And we'll talk about the future of Rodgers later. But you never know if Rodgers is going to be able to get back to that spot in Green Bay. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. On Friday, we were talking about pressure. And we looked at the Buffalo Bills and we said, even if they got blown out by the Chiefs, there won't be a lot of negative reaction for what the Bills did this year. We looked at Kansas City. Even if they would have lost to Buffalo, they're the defending Super Bowl champions. If you look at Tampa Bay, they had their moment last week. I know Brady's judged by the standard of Super Bowl or bust. However, the guy is already considered the greatest quarterback of all time. He's been to 9 Super Bowls before going to his 10th one in 2 Sundays. And he's already won 6, and he was playing in his 14th conference championship game in 19 years as a starting quarterback. By far and away, the pressure that was the greatest heading into this weekend was on Aaron Rodgers. Now, Aaron Rodgers is still going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. Aaron Rodgers will still be considered by many as one of the greatest quarterbacks to play this game. And Aaron Rodgers has done things with the football that are truly unprecedented. When you're that great, though, you're expected to win not just one championship, but multiple championships. And it is stunning. When you look back to the early, to 2011, when Rodgers wins that first Super Bowl, going up against the Pittsburgh Steelers and Ben Roethlisberger as Ben was going for his 3rd ring. The Rashad Mendenhall fumble in that game. Rodgers was brilliant in that game. Wins the Super Bowl MVP. It is stunning to me that as we sit here and just wrapped up the 2020 football season for the Green Bay Packers, that Aaron Rodgers has not been to another Super Bowl since then. And yes, I'm not saying Rodgers is culprit number one in the blame chart. That organization, the last 2-3 years, are hoping to make moves to get the football team better, but the players that they're banking on have not been intelligent. Bringing in Jimmy Graham when he's no longer Jimmy Graham, that was a wishful thinking move. Their big move this offseason to go try to get Aaron Rodgers' number 2 wide receiver was Devin Funchess. Now, he'd ended up not playing because of COVID, understandable, but still, Devin Funchess is a hope move. So there is blame and there is criticism to go around before you get to Rodgers, but here are the facts. Aaron Rodgers in those last 4 title games, it's not just him, it's the entire team. Now, I can't get on him for losing the game to Seattle. That wasn't his fault. But the next 3 games didn't show up against Atlanta. Didn't show up against the 49ers. Sure, the run defense takes a big burden of that blame against the 49ers with allowing them to do what Raheem Mostert did. But yesterday, yes, the easy take is, let's get on Matt LaFleur. Sure. Matt LaFleur deserves to be lambasted for that just idiotic decision to kick a field goal in that spot, 4th and goal at the 8, down by 8 points with 2:05 left, giving the ball back to Brady and giving him another opportunity, 2 first downs, and boom, the game's over, and you knew Brady was going to find the way to not give the ball back. However, here's the facts with Rodgers. Yes, people will remember that decision by LaFleur. But look at the 3 drives, including that. Pick, 3 and out. Another Brady pick, 3 and out. And then you get the football back after that Tampa Bay field goal. You're marching down the field, and your offense stalled. For the 2nd time in the game, 1st and goal inside the 10, your offense stalled. That field goal in the first half, unacceptable. That field goal at the end, unacceptable. And once again, at 28-23, Rodgers had 2 chances to go take the lead, couldn't get the job done, and then at 31-23, had another chance to go tie the game, touchdown, 2-point conversion, and couldn't get the job done. And think about that. Aaron Rodgers, a great quarterback, may end up his career, and yes, you'd rather take 1 Super Bowl than none. Winning 1 is a tremendous accomplishment. But when you win 1 so early in your career, you're expected to win more, especially at his level of greatness. And right now, as we sit here, What gives me the confidence, even with how unbelievable MVP that he played this year, what gives me the confidence that he's going to get the job done again in the big spot? He's only getting older. I guess he does not look like he's slowing down in terms of on-field production. The last three times, though, they've been in that NFC title game, they have not looked well. Two blowouts, and then it looked like they were on the verge of getting blown out yesterday. They come storming back. They got so close, and they couldn't finish off the job. And it wasn't as if it was only one drive and they failed. They had three drives. Three drives. And the MVP quarterback came up small on the biggest stage. You know, there's a difference, and we saw the big difference yesterday between Brady and Rodgers. Yes, Brady had three interceptions in the second half. Two of them were his fault. One, I know, was a little bit high, but Evans got two hands on the football, got to come down with it. Brady knows how to win. Brady knows how to win consistently. Rodgers knows how to dominate. Big games, though, Rodgers, either his entire team doesn't show up, or with the game on the line, he didn't get the job done. Because you could talk about the officiating. They gave the ball back to Brady, and Brady did not give the ball back to Rodgers. So I'm not telling you put all the blame on Rodgers. I would never do that. But to me, the two biggest people to blame for yesterday's loss, Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers. And that's how we usually break this stuff down. It's quarterbacks and it's head coaches. And the head coach, who's only lost six games before yesterday in his first 2 years with Green Bay, and people are getting on me throughout the season, how did you not put Matt LaFleur as a top 10 coach? Now, I had some people in the offseason last year say, oh, yeah, he's going to be a top 10 coach. He may be a very good coach. You saw him, though, have the moment be too big for him yesterday. And for Rodgers, it's mystifying because of how great he is. This may have been his best chance to get that second ring. You know, I'm still going back and forth. What's the tougher loss, the game in Seattle or this one? I got to give that another day of thought. All you had to do, though, was win two games. You had a bye. Home game against the Rams, easy. Home game against the Bucs, and you couldn't show up. After already seeing Tampa before and blowing a 10-0 lead and allowing 38 unanswered, and they could not show up in the first half, Rodgers makes a mistake, throws a pick, Scotty Miller touchdown, terrible coverage. Second half, you get the game close, but the minute the game got close, the Green Bay Packers came up small. So you could tell me Rodgers another MVP, Rodgers great season. Yeah. I'd be the first one to praise him and give him words of extolment for his regular season. You're going to remember this Packers season, though, for how it ended. And you don't know how many more chances Green Bay is going to get. And Rodgers, clearly not thrilled after the game, wouldn't expect him. But for him to start talking about his future now, it does not mean he's definitely leaving. But for him to start talking about that future, it's two things. One, he's still annoyed about Love and he wants out. And he'll demand a trade, which I don't think is going to happen. Or two, he's going to play hardball here, knowing he's under contract, and he really wants the Packers to take advantage of potentially his last 2 to 3 years in Green Bay or 2 to 3 years left in the National Football League. So we'll see what happens in this offseason with the Green Bay Packers, but if you're Rodgers, you probably wake up again and go, uh-oh, here we go again. Because the last four times his team was in the NFC Championship game with the chance to go to a Super Bowl and get him his second ring, there have been just some things that you look back at, and it's puzzling how those games have ended or how those games have played out. We'll break here. We'll come on back. We'll touch on the Chiefs as well. Chiefs win 38-24. How about Mahomes coming off the turf toe, concussion protocol, down 9-0. Doesn't matter. He's 29-38, three touchdowns. He was sensational. That big three, we talk about big threes in basketball. How about the big three of the Kansas City Chiefs? Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, and Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce, 13 receptions for 118 yards, two touchdowns yesterday. Tyreek Hill running all over the field, 9 receptions for a 172, and Mahomes looks like he's unstoppable. Turf toe, concussion protocol, he throws three touchdowns, and basically, he throws 325 yards to be exact. That Kansas City team, they are a juggernaut, and they are going nowhere in the near future, and they could, and they're expected to, repeat as champions. We'll come on back. We'll do the news brief.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, day after conference championship Sunday. Buccaneers, Chiefs, Super Bowl coming up two Sundays from now. Bruce Arians, the head football coach of the NFC champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers, going to join us tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. We'll get to a news brief in just a moment. But first up, let me hit up Ed in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Ed is first up on the Zach Gelb Show. Ed, go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
No problem. What do you got for me today?
I feel like I'm in the minority on this, but I want to stick up for LaFleur a little bit with the field goal. If they would have tied that game, and the narrative today would have been, well, you know, you gave the ball back to Brady too quick. So it would have been either the field goal or the time remaining, like, if they would have lost.
Here's the thing, though. They are down by 8 in the game. If they are going on this long drive and you don't have to get a touchdown and a two-point conversion, like if they just had to get 7, then maybe people will say you give the ball back to Brady. But you have to still allow yourself time in case you get that touchdown and don't get the 2 to either then kick the ball back off with 3 timeouts or line yourself up for a two-point conversion. If they go for it and get a touchdown there and just don't get the 2, I don't think anyone's criticizing LaFleur, in my opinion.
I just feel like if you gave the ball back to Brady with any time left, they would have jumped
on
him.
Not when you're down by 8. No, not when you're down by 8. If you had the ball back with 4 or 5 minutes left and you're down by 7, potentially different story. When you're down by 8, you can't get too picky with how you score. You just can't. And here's another thing. And this is where, to me, this is the biggest blunder on LaFleur's part. And I 100% thought they should have gone for the touchdown there. If you trust your defense that much, wouldn't you still go for it there? I know the Bucs then still only have to get 2 first downs if you don't get it. But you were then at the 10-yard line. Tampa takes over the 8-yard line. So if you have that much confidence in your defense, they get a 3 and out. And they punt the football, and you're in great field position to go win, tie the game. You'd be in the same spot. Because even if you take that field goal, which you did, you still had to get a touchdown. You still needed the touchdown. So you should have still gone for it. If you love your defense so much, they get the 3 and out. If you don't get it, then boom, Tampa gets the ball back, and you still got to get the 8 points. Taking the field goal there made zero sense. It made zero sense because you're giving the ball back to Brady. I don't care that he threw 3 interceptions. The dude is unconscious in the final 2 minutes. The dude has had moment after moment after moment where if you give him the ball with the game on the line, 9.5 times out of 10, he gets the job done. And you gave him the ball back. And all he had to do, it wasn't as if there was 4 or 5 minutes left. There was 2:05 left. That can't happen. And this is coming, remember, from a Patriot fan. And you may remember this, Trace. We were watching this game in the newsroom, NFL Network, last week. That Patriot-Bronco championship game where the Patriots needed to score and get the 2-point conversion. I remember making a big stink at the time where the Patriots, there was like 6 or 7 minutes left. The Patriots had a field goal attempt. You look back at it, they didn't take a field goal. They went for it. If they would have taken a field goal, they eventually tie the game, score a touchdown. Boom, the game's over. But at that point, I didn't get why Belichick went for it with 7 or 6 minutes left in that AFC title game. It didn't make sense. If LaFleur had 6 or 7 minutes left in the game, then sure, that decision I'm fine with. But with 2:05 left, giving the ball back to Brady, and all he has to do are get 2 first downs, 20 yards, that is as bad as of a decision as it is. All right, let's get to a news brief.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
Tom Brady was on with Jim Gray on Westwood One. Tom Brady says the game was challenging, but glad they came out victorious.
It's a great football team. They've been playing well all season, and you know, to come beat them at home, there were 9,000 fans. It felt like a little more than 9,000, but just great to get another road win. And now we got a home game. Who would ever thought, you know, a home Super Bowl for us? But we did it.
Tom Brady going to his 10th Super Bowl. What's a little bit different than this one? Not the fact that it's the home Super Bowl, but it's the first one without the New England Patriots. 43 years old, new team, new system. People are going to say he's not good anymore. Blah, 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 blah. He's in the Super Bowl, 60 minutes away from winning his seventh. Matt LaFleur said they banked on the defense getting one more stop. That's why they took the field goal there.
The way I was looking at it was, we essentially had four timeouts with the two-minute warning. And, you know, we knew we needed to get a stop. And I thought we were going to have a stop there at the end. But, you know, we got called for the PI. And it didn't work out.
Yeah, obviously it didn't work out. And I don't want to hear about the PI. I know it was PI, but they weren't calling that game. I did not love the call in that spot. You can't leave it in the hands of the officials. You had two chances to go take the lead. You had another chance to go tie the game, and your team only walked away with 3 points. Terrible decision by Matt LaFleur. Matt LaFleur then says the officiating wasn't the reason why they lost.
There was a lot of plays in that game that could have been made that could change the outcome of the game, but the ones that really hurt us the most were that play, and then to come out the start of the second half, you know, had the fumble, and they score.
Let me just go back to something real quickly, because I brought up that Patriot-Broncos AFC title game, just to give you the exact scenario. So it was 20-12. The Patriots, 4th-and-1 at Denver 16. 1 yard, I could get what you're going for it. But if you take that field goal there, Manning had a good first half, terrible second half. Very reminiscent to what Brady did the other day, except it didn't have all the turnovers that Brady did. So they don't go for it there on that 1 yard. They go for it there on that 1 yard situation, the Patriots. They don't get it. Brady had a pass to Edelman, and it didn't go for a yard. I think he actually lost a yard in the play. After that, though, the ball goes back to the Patriots. Broncos go 3 and out. Patriots then, 4th-and-6 at Denver's 14. They go for it, which is the right call with 2:25 left. They didn't get it. Punt again. Brady gets the ball back, marches down the field, get a touchdown to Gronkowski. They miss out on the 2-point conversion. Let me just highlight, though, that decision and compare it to LaFleur's yesterday when they went for it on 4th-and-1 at Denver 16. 6:03 left. You need 8 points. So if you take the field goal there, that cuts it down to 5. Then you just need a stop and a touchdown. You win the game. That I would have preferred the Patriots to do there, kick the field goal. They didn't. It wasn't terrible that they elected to go for it in that spot. But there's 6 minutes left. So if LaFleur, let's say yesterday, this is the point I'm illustrating. If he was in a spot where he kicked the field goal down 8 with 6 minutes left, I think it's a good call with the way that his defense was playing in that second half. But there was only 2 minutes left. Your chances of winning the game there are basically slim to none, because you're still down and you give the ball back to the GOAT, only eating 2 first downs. It's a head scratcher, one that I'll never get, but I just wanted to compare it to something else throughout recent postseason history. The Chiefs, 3rd straight home AFC title game, 2 out of 3 in their last 3. They're going to their 2nd consecutive or back-to-back Super Bowl, I should say. Andy Reid gives his thoughts on another Brady and Mahomes showdown that's going to happen 2 weeks, this time on the big stage for a Super Bowl trophy, Lombardi Trophy.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like we've had a couple of those, and every one of them is tremendous. And I wouldn't expect this to be any different. They got a tremendous team there. So, and those two have a lot of respect for each other.
Patrick Mahomes, turf toe, concussion protocol, no problem. Still tossed a bunch of touchdown passes yesterday and had 325 yards passing. Patrick Mahomes, can we get an update on your toe, please?
Oh, good from the warm-ups on. We did a good job as far as rehabbing, getting myself ready to go, and I feel like I was myself out there, and we were able to go out there and score points and find a way to win against a really good football team.
Yeah, Mahomes did not look bothered by that turf toe. Whew, he was brilliant. 29-38 one more time, 325 yards passing, 3 touchdowns, no picks. Chiefs 38, Bills 24. They look to go back-to-back in 2 weeks. Travis Kelce, he's a monster. 13 for 118 and 2 scores. Travis Kelce says, this season's motivation is proving everyone that the Chiefs aren't a one-year wonder.
I feel like last year it was a question of whether or not we belonged, and this year it was let's go out and prove to ourselves that we are who we are. And the resiliency, the how we're going to handle adversity. I just love this team, man. This team has helped me in life in so many different ways just because of, you know, how we handle adversity and how we win football games and how we just keep getting better.
Here's my favorite part when you have a great team is how you have to find a way to still motivate you and still build up that us against the world mentality. Did anyone question if the Chiefs could repeat this year? No. I've been saying throughout the year, Chiefs or the field, who do you take? And most of the times when I've answered that question, I said, take the Chiefs, not the field. So I'm saying I'd rather take the Chiefs than 31 other teams in the NFL to be the last team standing. Usually you go the odds with the 31 other teams. But that's how great Kansas City is. Now, last year there was concerns. Could Andy Reid win the big game? Can they get over the hump? This year, though, it was expected to get to the Super Bowl, and you're expected to win it again. Sean McDermott. So fourth and goal at the 2 right before the end of the first half. He took a field goal to make it 21-12. Then fourth and 3 in the second half, took another field goal to make it 24-15. Sean McDermott says the goal in kicking both field goals were to put points on the board.
Duh. Yeah, Heather, I did. I thought about it in both occasions, really. And if I had to go over again, I would have went for maybe one of them. But the one before the half, for sure, I wanted to get points. We were having trouble coming up with points, and I wanted to at least have something to show for it coming out of going into half, especially knowing they were getting the ball after half. And so I'll look back at that, and then I'll go back and reevaluate that, especially the one after half there. And again, as an entire team, we'll learn from this experience.
Only problem, Kansas City got the ball coming out of the second half. They got a field goal, made it 24-12. Then Buffalo settled for another field goal, 24-15. When you just settle for field goals against the Chiefs, you're going to lose. And that's what happened to Sean McDermott's squad.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.